Seeing Stars, by Jean Wright and Nancy Sefton. Several kinds of colorful sea star species are common in the Salish Sea, but to see them you need to go underwater or visit our shores at low tide. Quite common are the stout five-armed Otcher stars, above, which are not all Otcher-colored, but can be purple, brown, reddish, yellow or orange. Bright red blood stars, six rayed stars and leather stars can also be seen on our beaches. Depending on the species, sea stars can have four arms or more than 20 arms. Tiny tube feet crowd the undersides of the arms and transport oxygen from seawater to the star's tissues. Yes, you could almost say that sea stars breathe through their feet. The thousands of tube feet on a sea star also move the star along at a slow creep. Recent evidence points to a special adhesive that is secreted by the feet and allows the star to grasp the bottom tightly. It's a good reason to avoid trying to pull a star from a rock, lest the feet be ripped off. Sea stars' life cycle. Some sea star species have it easy. To reproduce, they simply split in two. Males and females of other species release their respective reproductive cells from their arms into the water. Broadcast spawning. From the many cells released, only a few become larvae, the juvenile forms of the animal. Larvae look very different from adults. Photo. Adrift for months before finally becoming tiny sea stars. They eventually fall to the ocean floor to feed and continue to grow. In general, stars have great longevity. The Otcher star can live 20 years, and the Sunflower star can live more than 30. Regeneration. Unlike humans, a sea star has the envious ability to regenerate a new arm if one is damaged or lost. But there's a catch. While the new limb is forming, the animal may not be able to forage for prey with ease, nor reproduce effectively since the gonads, reproductive organs, are located in its arms. Our local species can lose more than one arm, but must retain a portion of the central disc in order to regrow the lost appendages. Wasting disease. Although these hardy marine animals once occupied the Salish Sea in large numbers, they've declined in recent years due to sea star wasting disease along much of the North American Pacific coast. The impact on our sea stars is not only unfortunate for them, but has consequences for the broader ecosystem because sea stars are considered a keystone species, a predator that keeps other animal populations in balance. For example, sea stars feed on sea urchins, limiting their abundance. The urchin population grows when stars' numbers decline. Overabundance of urchins can lead to a decline in the kelp forests on which the urchins feed. As a result, this important nearshore habitat is threatened as a result of the cascading effects of sea star decline. Sea stars and other marine creatures. Barnacles grow profusely on many surfaces, even atop other marine creatures such as whales and mussels, but you won't see them on sea stars. A close look reveals many bumps on a star's surface. Some are organs used for cleaning off foreign organisms, like barnacles or algae. Some stars, like the Otcher variety, are often found hanging out on barnacle colonies, feeding on barnacles and mussels, and snails. How does the sea star eat? The stickiness of their tube feet is handy when the star wants to eat a shellfish. It attaches to the shells with its feet and slowly pries open the shells. Then it pushes its stomach from its body and into the shellfish. A secreted enzyme breaks down the victim's soft parts into a slurry, allowing the star to absorb its liquefied meal into its stomach. Also see Find Out More for a link to a movie from the point of view of the mussel. Both stars and anemones are predators, but when it comes to attacking each other, it's a one-way street. Sea stars happily dine on anemones, but it's not the other way around. A clever chemical conversation occurs when a star gets close to its prey. The star's mucus alerts the anemone to the risk of predation. Despite the anemone's ability to creep if necessary, a star can usually outrun an anemone. But one, aptly named the swimming anemone, Stomphia coccinea, takes serious action when touched by a particularly dangerous star species by detaching itself from the bottom and swimming away. If the marauding star is deemed harmless, however, that is, doesn't smell too bad, the anemone can relax and stay put. Besides the wasting disease, what other threats do stars face? They are eaten by a variety of creatures, such as shrimp, crabs, and even other sea stars. A much larger enemy, the sea otter, has a varied menu, but a third of its diet consists of sea stars. Seagulls are another major predator, although they seem to prefer smaller-sized stars that can be swallowed in a few seconds. It takes longer, up to an hour, for a gull to consume a medium-sized meal such as an otter or mottled star. Even large sea stars are on the menu, but they're not swallowed until they've been tossed on their bellies and pecked at, or had their arms torn off. Maybe the large sea star that I found on the pavement of a parking lot in Port Orchard last year was left there by a smaller seagull who dropped it trying to break it apart? Maybe the gull just couldn't gulp it down?